Amen. Again, it's just so good to have you all with us. And I know we have people coming from all over, everywhere from Russia to Alabama. So we have people from all over. And just so glad that you're here with us today. And we just hope that you've been blessed while you've been here. And this morning, we have an alumni who's going to speak with us. Ryan Johnson, and right now Ryan is in Chicago. Him and his wife feel that they're called to Chicago to plant a church. So they are in the heart of Chicago to plant a church. And right now they're just there praying and really seeking the Lord, seeking the Lord's direction. And he's just a wonderful man of God, has a powerful touch of God upon his life. We're just very honored to have him here with us today. So, Brother Ryan, I'm going to give it to you.
Just before I begin, I just want to thank Pastor Tim, Pastor Teresa, and the leadership here at Summit for being faithful to God, for serving the next generation of pastors, teachers, evangelists, and servants. Your labor is not in vain. I'm a testimony of the laid down lives of many people in this school, and I'm grateful for that. See Brother Al back there, he was here when I was here, and just to see, you know, men and women of God serving this next generation. Sometimes it gets heavy, sometimes it gets discouraging, sometimes you feel like, am I making any impact? But I'm here to tell you this today, you are making an impact. You are strengthening the next generation, and God is using your life for his glory. Every time I get an opportunity to come back to Summit, I get excited, and there's a sense of gratefulness that comes in my heart. For me, this is where it all began. I gave my life to Christ in 1997, January the 31st, 1997. And that following September, I went through the gates here, then called Mount Zion, the Summit now International School of Ministry. I was a 19-year-old, zealous, immature, but full of the love of Christ teenager. I knew that God had called me, and there was nothing else that I wanted to do with my life than to serve God. It was here that God broke me down. Everybody that's a Summit alumni, say amen. And he laid a foundation that has kept me near to his feet my whole life thus far. And brothers and sisters, there is no other place that we need to be every day than at the feet of Jesus. I'm more convinced as I grow in the Lord that there is absolutely no way that we can stand or even move forward in this world without being with him and out of that relationship with him. The more I'm with him, the more I realize how unlike him I am. The more I spend time with him, the more I'm humbled yet encouraged all in the same moment. The more that I seek his face, the more I realize how much I need to seek his face. And for that, I'm grateful. It was here I met my wife. Don't ask how that happened. It just did. It just happened. She's the greatest blessing in my life. I wish she was here with me today, but she had to work this week. She's the greatest blessing that I have on this earth. She's so steady. Where I am up and down, she is consistent. And if anybody knows my wife, you know that's the way that she is. And she's the love of my life. I was taught something very, very valuable here at Summit. A theme that has been here from the beginning. A theme that's right here on the wall. A theme that we've heard numerous times this past weekend. And for those who are here on campus, you've said it numerous times and you understand it. I was taught here at Summit to be a servant. I was taught to live and exist for other people. But saying that and doing that are two different things. And to become a servant, God has to work his love and spirit into every fiber of your being. That takes trial. That takes hurt. That takes conviction. That takes exposure of who you are or your motives. That takes a as we say it in the South, getting taken out to the woodshed. The Lord dealing with your heart. You have to be weathered. You have to be weathered. You know what it means to be weathered? It's where the storm beats you. It's where you go through seasons and of good and bad and up and down and rain and snow and sunshine. You go through times of stripping and brokenness and encouragement and running the race. And to be a servant, you have to be weathered to be poured out for many. Now, it doesn't mean that you're not a servant until those things happen. But your spiritual life is a journey, bringing you daily to Christ, the servant maker. Jesus is the servant maker. Being a servant and just saying one day, I'm going to be a servant. Being a servant is going to the servant maker every day and letting him make you the servant that he wants you to be. Being a servant is letting Christ wash your feet daily so that you can in turn wash the feet of others. When I was here at Mount Zion or Summit, sorry if I get them mixed up, you know what I'm talking about, for just for frame of reference. When I was here, it was called Mount Zion School of Ministry. It didn't even hit the International School of Ministry yet. It was just Mount Zion School of Ministry. And then it shifted to Mount Zion International School of Ministry when the Lord opened up the door for international students to come. And how many are grateful God opened up that door for international students to come? An interesting story. I was in Ireland back in 2005, I believe. And I get on the bus. And let me tell you, when we were here in school, we prayed almost daily for the nations. We prayed for God to send international students. We prayed for God to open up the door. And it was a difficult door to open because we were not an accredited university. So it was a difficult door to get opened by the government for international students to come. Some international students would try to come. They would come 6 months to a year and then they would have to leave. And so we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And I remember many prayer meetings in the old chapel and in this chapel of praying for international students to be able to come. And so I was in Ireland. In 2005, we landed, we were shot, we were tired, we were riding in the bus, we were working with Cork Church in Ireland. We were up in the north with Pastor Trevor Russell and Letterkenny, just wanting to join his team up there and to help him reach his city. And as I get on the bus, now granted, I've never been to Ireland before. I've never met really many people from Ireland. I get on the bus and I say, is there anybody here that's familiar with Mount Zion? And this little young whippersnapper named Adam Field turned around and said, I'm from Mount Zion. I'm the first international student that ever came there. And my heart just broke. This is a year of answered prayers. And God still answers prayers. And now we have how many international students coming in and out and going back to their home countries or going back across into the nations and reaching people for Jesus. Here at Summit, I was downloaded so much wisdom, so much scripture, so much characteristics of God. In my evangelism class, we had to memorize 100 scriptures for the test. Yeah, it was fun. But when I left in May of 2001, it'd be 14 years next week, that's when the journey really began. That's where all the things that I learned in my spirit and mind began to slowly, slowly by trial, by weathering, by storm, to begin to translate from my mind into my heart, and then out of my heart into the world. So I stand here today, obviously, not having arrived. But I stand as an example of the grace and mercy of God. My chief goal is still to be a servant. And I'm still learning what that really means. My old pastor used to say something to me all the time concerning servanthood. He used to say, you know you're a servant by the way you react when someone treats you like one. You know you're a servant by the way you react when someone treats you like one. We live in a world of survival of the fittest, amen? Everyone is out for themselves. Everyone wants to be served. But when you're born again, you become a new creation. And from that day forward, you no longer live for yourself, but you live to serve God and to serve mankind. That's why you exist, to be a servant. This is my mission in life. This is my mission statement. My life exists for the glory of God. I seek to be a servant to all mankind. In every season of my life, I will seek clarity on the mission of God as I serve my wife, my children, my family, and the body of Christ. So that everyone who has a connection to me would strongly desire to know Jesus and to serve him all the days of their life. And this is why I live. When I get the opportunity to share here, I always like to begin by sharing what God did in me here to encourage the staff here to keep going. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't lose heart. You are making an impact for the kingdom of God. Let's turn to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and then I want to pray. God, I've been so blessed this weekend. Every time I come back here, it's like coming back to Bethel, where you once spoke to me. God, I walk around looking at just places on campus where I sat in chapel every day. And I look over the past 14 years and I can truly say that you are a faithful God. And I love your people so much, God. I love the people that are here today. God, they've traveled. They live here. They've traveled here. And I want this morning, I want to just wash their feet, Lord God. I want to refresh them, Lord. God, I want, you can do so much in one moment of revelation. You can do more in one moment of revelation than I can do in thousands of words, God. And so I ask that you would just refresh your people. Refresh them, God, by your Spirit. Strengthen them, Lord. Encourage them. Draw them. Minister to them, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. This scripture is usually read at funerals. to remember the past, but I want to read it this morning to you to remember and look forward to the future. In verse 14, Solomon says, I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it that men should fear him. That which is has already been, and what is to be has already been. And God requires an account of what is past. I read this scripture looking forward because as I was praying and asking the Lord what he would have to share with you today, I really felt a strong burden for the faculty and the staff here at Summit. I know this message is for everyone here, but I really, my heart is in love with the faculty and staff here at Summit. You guys have poured out your life all year long. You have given when you thought you couldn't give anymore. You have been up and you have been down. You have laughed and you've cried. Things have been torn down and things have been built up. You have planted and you've seen the reward of that planting even here yesterday. All of us are on a journey. We are all growing and learning the heart of God and understanding the kingdom of God. And the key to successfully walking this journey of faith and closeness with God is to understand that in whatever season you're in, whether it's a time of weeping or it's a time of laughing, it's a time of brokenness or it's a time of healing, the key to understanding and walking with God is to understand that whatever season you're in, God is in control. He's in control. He's in charge of your life. He knows all and he sees all. When the children of Israel turned back and they saw Pharaoh, and they were up against the Red Sea and they looked and they saw Pharaoh, when fear swept their heart, God was in control. When Gideon looked and he saw his 300 men, that was a ragamuffin army. 300 men versus the mighty army of the Midianites. And fear gripped Gideon's heart, who didn't even want to be a leader. God was in control. When King Hezekiah was battered by the words of Sennacherib and fear tried to creep in, God was in control. And understanding the seasons of life and receiving everything into your life as from the hand of the Lord is a great key in living a life of rest. When you receive everything as from the hand of God, whether good or whether bad, whether you can understand it or whether you cannot understand it, when you can come to that place of saying, Jesus, not my will, but your will be done. Not my understanding, God, but your understanding in this situation. Not my knowledge, but your knowledge, Lord God. When we can come into that place of rest, there isn't anything you can't go through. There isn't any battle you can't get through. Let's turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. My oldest daughter is going to be 13 in June. Covet earnestly your prayers. I was sitting last night, I was thinking, wow, in 5 years she could be on this campus. And then Caitlin and Ryan really felt old after I said that. And I even felt even older. Has there been a second generation yet? Of alumni or alumni's kids come? Not yet. That's exciting. That's when it gets real, right? John chapter 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, and having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having already put it in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, he rose from supper. He laid aside his garments, and he took a towel, and he girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Every time I read this passage of scripture, I just, my mind is blown. Can you imagine being one of the disciples? I mean, the revelation to Peter had already come, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And now he's taking a towel and he's washing the filth that is caked on the feet of his disciples. Working here at this school, I'm sure you know, life in general at that is not for the faint of heart. There are those of us who have full-time jobs, and then there are some faculty who have full-time jobs. To the Summit faculty this morning, those of you who are here, I know you're tired. I know you're weathered. I know you're stripped, and I know at times you feel completely empty. But if I could break down the simplicity of the Christian life this morning into two concepts, a specific word for this family here at Summit Church, it would be this: let Jesus wash your feet daily. And then take a towel and do the same thing to everyone you come in contact with every day. Now, this isn't just for the Summit faculty. Obviously, this translates to every one of us as a believer. In this passage of scripture, Jesus was teaching something very powerful here to his disciples and for all saints who would follow. This world that we live in is dirty. This world that we function in is tough. It's hurtful. It's tiring. And it is impossible to deal with. This is why he washed the disciples' feet. He was serving them. Now, something that I love about this is that in the upper room where they were, secluded away from the busyness of this world and society, Jesus, in that secret place, bent low and served his people. Jesus took a towel. If you've ever read the book, The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman, you know what I'm talking about when I say that the way that I really sense a love is when people serve acts of kindness to me. And that is how I serve other people, is I enjoy serving people. It's a natural part of who I am. But it's hard to be served. How many agree it's hard to be served? It's hard when someone wants to do something for you. Because many times if we're honest with ourselves, many times when we go into the presence of God or we go before his throne, we see all the things that we're not, right? We see we're never satisfied with where we want to be in our walk with God. We always want to walk with him. We want to know him more. We want to have a victory in all areas. But, you know, we're on a journey in this walk. And there are different seasons of victories and going through different times. It's hard to be served. It's hard sometimes to simply get alone with God and just let him wash you and clean you. Let him speak to you, just to you and no one else. I can imagine working here at Summit that you're constantly, every day, you're serving others. You're serving the students. You're serving others. And many times you probably feel like you have nothing else to give out. And sometimes when you're going to the scriptures or you're getting alone with God, many times it's, God, what can you give me to give out again? I feel like I have nothing else to give out. But I want to encourage you That season for a moment has ended. For a moment. Because it'll be back upon you before you know it. You're entering a season right now where you need to let Jesus wash your feet. You need to get along with God, not for a message, not for a teaching, not for preparing for the future, not for anything else, but simply to get alone and to let him wash your feet. To let Jesus serve you. Because before we can serve others, we must first let Jesus minister and serve us. Then we must rise in faith from that in whatever season, good or bad, tough or easy, hurt or free, then we must take a towel and serve the world. Don't try to serve the world if you haven't allowed Jesus to serve and minister to you in that secret place. That is our strength of where we serve out of. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'm going to be closing shortly. I want to give some time, if it's okay with Pastor Tim, to let people come and let Jesus just wash them this morning. There are many different places. Those of us here come from many different places. We come from many different backgrounds of life. We are all at different places in our relationship with Christ. We're all different parts of the journey. Some have been walking with the Lord for years, and some have been walking less. And I know there's testimonies all over this room at the power of God and the presence of God and the faithfulness of God and the goodness of God. All of us are at different places. But this message, this truth stands the test of time. That wherever you are in your journey, we must first let Jesus wash us so that we can in turn serve and wash the feet of this world. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I say this in closing because I wanted to just encourage you. I really felt like that was the Lord's heart, to come and just encourage you, to strengthen you, to lift your countenance, and to bless you. And so I want to do this by this last scripture that's such a powerful scripture, and then we're going to have a time at the altar. Now this I say, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, verse 50. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. How many know that one day that's coming? One day we will put off this incorruptible. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In this last verse, I speak to everyone here today. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Let's stand together. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just thank God for what he's done in your life. Just lift your hands and begin to worship and thank God and for all that he's done in your heart and all that he's done in your life. No matter what season that you're in, as we sang earlier, in every season, he is still God. And we always have a reason to praise him. We always have a reason to worship him. Father, we worship you this morning. God, we lift our hands. Some of us lift, God, in complete faith with no emotion. Some of us lift rejoicing and shouting. And no matter what season that we're in, Lord God, I pray that we would by faith, Lord, lift our voice to heaven today and say thank you. Thank you for whatever place in the journey that we're on. Thank you, God, for what you've allowed into our life and what you're doing in our heart. Thank you, God, for leading us thus far. And God, that you're faithful to lead us on. Lord, your grace is enough in every single season of our life. And God, I pray this morning that as we worship, God, and we sing just one or two more songs, I pray that you would billow over your people with your grace and your mercy. God, I pray that you would pour out your spirit and just wash over your people. God, I pray that you would minister to your people. Jesus, you said in your word that you didn't come to be served, but you came to serve and to give your life as a ransom for many. And Jesus, we come in faith in this season today. And we say, Jesus, we need you to come and wash over us. We need you to pour out your life upon us today. We need you, God, to strengthen the feeble hands, to quicken the weak heart, to strengthen those minds that may be downcast. Lord, those who may, and there's a fog over their mind and they don't know what is next, Lord. God, you are faithful to guide and direct our every step, Lord God. That God, you are faithful, Lord, to speak exactly in timing what is next, Lord. And that the seasons are by God. You have established seasons by your hand, Lord. And we are your people. And you will guide and lead your people because you are a good father. Lord, touch your people this morning. Oh, Jesus. God, I just sense you. Your love is so great, God. You're so pleased, God. I just sensed it. Just as you came out, Jesus, of the water of baptism, and the word you spoke over your son is, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. God, you look over your people today and you are well pleased with them, God. And it isn't because of our goodness. It isn't because of our faithfulness, God. It's because of your goodness. And it's because of your faithfulness, God. God, you know where everybody is today. I pray you would speak to them as we worship you, God. Just billow over your people and wash them, wash their feet today. If you want to get out of your seat and come to the altar, just we're going to sing a song of worship. You can stay in your seat and let that be your altar, whatever you want to do. But just, I just want you to take this time to let the Lord just billow over you with his love, to wash you, to wash your feet this morning. Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, there's nothing that I can add to this sacred word, so I'm not even going to try to. I just want to, on behalf of the staff here, just want to thank you for that word. I really sense that was, really sense it was from the Lord. Just wants to wash your feet. You know, when we first started having worship and I started worshiping the Lord, you know, it's so easy in those times to start repenting. And I found myself just repenting of all the pride and the arrogancy in my life. But the Lord said, Tim, just let me wash you. Just let me wash you. And I just felt like Peter. You know, I really sensed the same presence that was in the upper room. You know how he said, Lord, I'm not worthy. That was my first reaction. All I could do was say, oh, God, would you just forgive me of all the pride and the arrogancy that's in my life. And I just felt the Lord just say, Tim, just let me wash you. Just so grateful for that. And on behalf of the church, thank you for that word. Ryan, thank you for that word so much. Amen. God is good, isn't he? God is so good. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. The altars are always open. If you want to stay in the altar longer or just in your seat longer, you're always free to do that. But just want to take a moment just to thank the Lord for this precious moment that he wanted to come and wash your feet. Lord, I thank you. Lord, with all my heart, I truly sense the same heart, the same spirit that was in the upper room washing the feet of the disciples. God, Lord, I truly sensed it here today, Lord. And I just thank you for coming and just washing the feet of your people. Lord, I just sense there are people here this morning who are tired, who feel pressed out of strength. God, Lord, we don't know the battles that they're in, but you know the battles that they're in. They're just people here, God, in time of great battle. But Lord, I thank you that you've taken this moment by your Spirit and your Word to take up the towel and just come and wash feet, wash over hearts with mercy and grace and strength. Lord, we don't take it lightly. We don't take this moment lightly. And before we leave this sanctuary, we just want to take a moment just to say thank you, God, for taking the initiative. Lord, you took the initiative to come to us in this moment, Lord, and just humble yourself and wash our feet to pour your grace, to pour your strength, to pour your encouragement into our hearts, Lord. And Father, we thank you for that, God. And I just pray that you would just help us to rise up out of this place of encouragement and strength, and to take the towel to the feet of this world, as my brother has said, God. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you would undergird our heart, Lord, Father. And Lord, just bless your people today. And I do pray for Brother Ryan, that you would just strengthen him and continue to encourage him, God. Lord, as he prepares to go join his family in Chicago, I pray, Lord, that you would bless this future ministry, God. Lord, there's a church that's fixing to be planted. God, I pray that you would give him all the favor. Lord, the heart of the kings are in the hand of the Lord, and you turn it wherever you want it to go. And I pray, Lord, the people that he needs favor with, God, that you would give him favor. Just as you gave Daniel in chapter 1 favor, Lord, with the keeper of the guard of the prison, Lord, I pray that you would just give him all the favor that he needs, Lord, and meet every resource that he needs, God. Let him find his strength in serving people. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. That was the source of his strength, God. And as he spends his life to serve the people of Chicago, Lord, would you just give him all the resources that he needs, Lord. And we just thank you and we love you. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you this morning.